I know Billy Zane's been in more stuff. I can't.
Well, he's done more independent work, has he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look. That's
yeah. Yeah, like, and his reaction.
Like George being his more, and more.
His reaction when buys it. What? Yeah, who are you?
What's Michael J. Fox doing now? I mean, is he retired? I know he has Parkinson's disease, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's.
But I mean, I thought he was still doing more work.
He's a fundraiser for Parkinson's disease now.
He's more of a spokesperson for Parkinson's. But I mean, you know,
because I know in Spin City he had some problems. Yeah, just doing
towards the end,
which is why he left the show.
He started to show signs of it, if I'm not mistaken. He started to show his first signs of it during the filming of Part 2 and 3.
Right.
I think that's really when it started to become obvious to other people around him. I think he'd known it for quite some time prior to that, but I think it was like during the filming of 2 and 3 that he really started to, like, you know, show.
Wow.
He never takes a drink of it either. I love it. I love those. Hey, Dad, George, you on the bike?
Daddy-o.
You on the bike? Hey.
Now we find out what he was doing in the middle of the street.
He wasn't bird watching.
He's a peeping Tom.
Ah, the good old days when girls used to get undressed right in front of, you know, open windows with the blinds open and everything. The good old days.
If you do that now, you get shot.
Yeah.
And this looks like it hurts.
This is when the plot kicks.
Yeah.
40 minutes into the movie. No comment?
Plead the fifth and get on your bike.
I'm your future son-in-law. Goodbye. I hit another one of these damn kids with my car. Another one of these damn kids.
I really like where Bob Gale says how they came up with the idea of this movie. That,
oh, yeah.
You know, what if you could go to, which is basically, he saw his, found one of his father's old yearbooks and saw that he was class president. He wasn't really a friend with his class president, and he wondered whether he would be friend with his, would you be friend with your dad if, you know, you were going to high school with him? And that was basically the concept of this. And it's like, you know, well, what if you were same age as your parents, was basically the idea of this.
Finn. I love when she mentions.
Yeah, that's just hilarious. Yeah.
We're over there on my hope chest. I love her delivery of that line.
Yeah.
I love her delivery of that line. Over there on my hope chest.
What's he doing with purple underwear anyway? Is what I'm curious.
She goes
about.
After his.
Yeah.
And this is Leah Thompson, who I've enjoyed all throughout all three movies. Mm. I especially enjoyed her in Part 2, just because, like, she played the same character in so many different.
She's a good actress.
She's a very Caroline in the City is what the other thing she's really known for.
And
why did I remember
the Michael J. Fox of the physical comedy right here?
Yeah.
How long have you been in port for? Coast Guard. What the hell were you doing in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
foreshadowing the Jailbird Joey
or
concept.
Actually, well, not so much foreshadowing as paying it off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because we never hear another instance of it.
Yeah.
In the entire trilogy.
You know, it's touched on in part two.
Oh, that's right.
It's, you know, it's mentioned anyway. Kind of like very, very Lucille Ball delivery, that line there.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Well, I mean, I can see that. I can see, because my dad grew up in a family with 9 other siblings, but I actually can kind of like see my mom's family being very close to this, because my mom only had 2 other siblings. She had a brother and a sister, and I can just very easily see her family being very close to this.
I like this, the concept of the rerun. And it was so funny, you listen, the commentaries, you know, whether you like them or not, they do actually have a lot of really interesting information. Like, in one, I can't remember which country it was they were dubbing it for, it might have been just, but
yeah,
one of the countries they were dubbing for didn't have reruns, mm-hmm. and wouldn't get the concept of a rerun, so they had to, I can't remember what they changed it to, but was,
well,
was
yeah, and
they
another,
had to change it for something else.
Another one for part three. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? The mentioning that, like, the 7-Eleven joke in part three when the gunsmith asked him where he learned how to shoot like that.
And no, I haven't listened to
the gunsmith asked Marty where he learned to shoot like that, and he says 7-Eleven, but he can't. But they didn't, since they didn't have 7-Eleven in a lot of countries.
Right.
He says in a lot of the dub version, he says Disneyland. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Which is pretty good. Which, well, I thought was pretty,
you know,
funny.
Playing the game,
it's actually kind of ironic when you think about, because Disney actually passed on distributing
movie
because
they
didn't like the idea of Marty kissing his mother.
And
you know,
and that was the
later
thing.
On the whole idea of, well, I'll
it's
get
pretty
into
stretched,
that later.
So
yeah,
it.
But.
Well, that was one of the more interesting.
God, what was I going
to say? You're
probably, no, I love that line we bypasses. Who the hell is John F. Kennedy?
Well, I love the line that Mike acknowledges there. Is his parents are probably idiots, too.
But really, if you ever have a son
something
like
this,
I'll disown
you. Well, it must have disowned her.
Well, this is what was another distribution story that I found was interesting. Was like a lot of studios found this movie to be too soft.
Yeah, because I mean, this was, you know, I mean, this was after Porky's and a lot of the other teen comedy in Fast Times and Ridgemont High,
mm-hmm.
and this just isn't quite as risque.
But
as
that's
those are.
But that's another thing that made this movie so timeless was that it appeals to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was after Fast Times at Ridgemont, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
was 82.
This is
this entire scene is just brilliant. Do you know what this means?
It means that
this
damn
thing
doesn't
work
at all.
Then he goes off rambling.
Yeah. What the hell is he touching? Why? Job, I
very much a Michael J. Fox moment here. Just very, very vintage. His
19. He doesn't even think about what he's saying. He just
his
realizing
delivery.
His invention doesn't work.
What this means? Okay, we're gonna just repeat something that we just quoted not too long ago. So, but. Yeah, this is just great Christopher Lloyd stuff
right
here.
Just throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just perfect.
Probably the fact that he even has color photos there is.
Yeah, I know. That would probably do it, too.
Yeah.
There's your foreshadowing, though.
Yeah.
Tell me, future boy.
This actually isn't so funny anymore when you consider that we're like a month away from the California recall election, and there are like two or three actors who are up for governorship.
Can't believe Gary Coleman.
Good night, future boy. This is some really obvious ADR here, but
yeah,
for some reason I always. And the flux capacitors never really explained. Is it like, except flux capacitor?
I mean, all you see are like three little lines converging. It's like, okay. I mean, I guess
that's the thing, though. Is this movie is actually
the name kind of works, but that's about it.
You know,
the time flux and this
you
capacitor.
Just, you remember that
you know,
name?
That's about
the
it.
Flux capacitor. It's like,
well, the fact. What about the flux capacitor fluxing? All right. No, well, that's what's kind of neat about this movie is that it's not very scientific, but it's actually very scientifically accurate.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is,
they don't try to explain something that's unexplainable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, just more good visual storytelling,
wow,
not more.
Moves.
This is very,
This actually, very thinking about it, reminds me of a line in Ed Wood, and it's like, yeah, let me get one of those electrical things that buzzes. Just the needless prop. You don't know what it does. It just does something, and that's what matters. I love this line of Chris Lloyd's coming up. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Had a miniature television studio here.
Portable television studio. The line we've already quoted. We should probably
like
wait.
Three times.
We should probably wait until we actually get to
here
our.
It is.
Portable television studio.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Ron, you quote the movie way too many times, but I've been doing it like half the time on this one, so I've got no way to.
We probably
should
just wait
that.
Until we actually get to our favorite lines before we even acknowledge them. But
I don't know, there's so many lines in. 1 point.
Another one of my. What the hell's a jiggle on? Another. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
More science that isn't exactly explained, but you believe
it. Well,
you
they mentioned on the commentary that's not the way you say it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Somebody.
That's Thomas Edison.
That's Thomas Edison. Ben
Franklin.
Albert Einstein. And
where's Albert Einstein?
He's on the.
Oh, right. There he is. There he is. Yeah.
We were just pointing over to that picture. You can't see it because we don't have video, but.
No, that's we're developing a video.
I hope.
Because
we're all such
attractive fellows.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. God, I've got this game on like Atari. I've got
Nintendo.
Nintendo.
There was a Nintendo.
Oh
game.
My God! I could not do anything on that game to save my life.
Yeah.
And part two and part three, I just didn't even get that on the video game.
There was a video game though for part two and three, wasn't there?
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, okay, what am I supposed to do here?
Wow, I forgot this video game.
Yeah. I was trying to remember what film that was.
Harness. Now, what about
he didn't know anything about the time machine. He's saying, aha, that'll work.
Now, I like what Bob Gale mentions.
There's the title.
Yeah. I like Bob Gale mentioning in the commentary that Christopher Lloyd's inspiration for this character was Leopold Stokowski.
Oh, yeah, the conductor famed conductor who conducted all the music for the original Fantasia. Yeah, you can see it if you've ever seen a picture of Stokowski and you see Christopher Lloyd. It's like the hair is dead on, and then
all the broad moments, like the broad movements.
If you've ever watched Fantasia, I mean, those interstitials that they
and
have.
And here comes Mike's favorite line.
From existence.
That look right there is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, they really cleaned this place up.
It looks brand new. It's 30 years previous to you, okay?
Wait, it has nothing to do with it. You know, my favorite moment in part three is when they kind of have a role reversal, and Doug says, or Marty says, "Great Scott," and Doug says, "I know this is heavy." That's
maybe
fun.
You were adopted.
Yeah. Kick me. Mike, I remember you being like that in high school until I, you know, came and rescued you and taught you how to be cool and everything. Of course, you remember that as well.
I'm trying to.
Are we still talking about role reversal?
Hit me with the car.
That's it, kid.
He's already messed up. Now he's got to straighten it out.
Is that like the... book covers. Oh my goodness.
God, I...
Wow,
yeah.
I sure totally forgot about that.
I had to explain to a neighbor at my house the other day how to make that.
That's insane. God!
Oh,
that's just brutal.
Goodbye, George!
Yeah. Oh...
Doc's look right there is beautiful.
I don't know, this might be my favorite line right off, right here after Marty says, "This is heavy again." There's that word again, heavy. Because they're in the future. Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Doc, you told me that the...
Great transition there.
What?
Back to watching the movie.
I love how Doc's so out of touch with, you know, the idea of...
Yeah.
You know, social...
Right.
You know, nothing. Another line I kind of identify with because... But, you know, Doc has a fairly interesting story arc throughout the entire series, just because, you know, he's... You know, he goes
or tried to introduce you to.
Wow. Really, really, really rough.
Yeah, you can...
I mean, that's just bad.
You can see why he's so popular.
Yeah.
Walking around with the pad.
Yeah, but that, I think that these are all really interesting Crispin Glover touches. I don't know how much, you know, this had to do with the writing or the...
Right.
As much as, but, I mean, he really did, you know... I really do... admire the kind of actor he is, and I mean, I'm just now beginning to like notice him in other, you know, he's beginning to be, he's almost kind of,
she like, she really likes you. It's like, yeah, okay, she didn't even look your way, buddy.
Crispin Glover's almost kind of sort of starting to come emerge out of obscurity again.
Yeah,
you know,
with
Nurse
Betty and the Charlie's Angels,
and you know that.
And Willard.
Willard,
too.
Yeah, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm actually interested in seeing just because of him.
I mean, there's no bad acting in this movie at all.
No.
I mean, there's just
great character. There's very little that's bad in this movie. I mean, I can't think of anything pretty major.
Get your meat hooks off.
Yeah, I've tried that and it doesn't work.
The force approach?
Have you tried the force approach?
Gee, I wonder why it didn't work.
Not really. Yeah, that's asking for it right there.
Yeah.
He's fearless a bit.
Yeah.
Which is like he towers above him.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're new here,
I'm gonna give you a break. Bad jokes in the history of bad jokes.
It pays off though in part two though,
yeah.
When old Biff tells him
leave,
idiot.
Even though it's so cheesy,
it pays off so much. He
acted badly.
It pays off so well in part two. Why do you keep following me?
Yeah. Was that an 80s outfit right there? Or is he just like really super nerdy at this point?
Which one?
The one that his dad is wearing.
No,
that's just super. That's just nerdy
but,
50s, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
Not you.
Science fiction theater.
Now there is an extended version of this scene coming up on the DVD and.
It's funnier
though
shorter.
Oh, it works so much better shorter because of the fact that it makes when George comes to Marty desperate
mm-hmm.
and what he says to Marty
mm-hmm.
just all the funnier.
Van Halen.
Well, Edward Van Halen, because what happened was they could only get like Eddie Van Halen approved the use of the music, but the rest of them. Or two of them didn't, or something like that.
Really?
So they had to put Edward on there.
Just him, huh?
But works is funny.
My name is Darth Vader.
I come armed with a
hair dryer.
I'm an extraterrestrial.
Which they discuss on the commentary for deleted scene.
Which I'm guessing was Michael J. Fox just doing a really bad James Earl Jones there.
Yeah.
I love him not knowing how to open this bottle here. Yeah, that hairdryer is actually something that was in Doc's suitcase.
Yeah.
No.
And it is explained in the...
This is so funny, and I love the looks he gets. They melt my brains.
Well, let's just keep this brain melting stuff to ourselves.
He's pretty disheveled there with the shirt up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you were like this, and I just, you know, I lifted you out of obscurity. It was pretty miraculous.
Right.
You were pretty.
What are you talking about?
You're rubbing that into the ground, and it's.
I'm trying to watch the movie.
Feet under by now.
Besides being inaccurate.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you wouldn't be married today if it wasn't for me. Just kidding.
Wow.
That one.
Mike, you know I love you.
Yeah, Carrie and I have talked about that same thing.
I have to tease Mike because he's not here for every one of our, you know, I have to tease him.
Yeah. He's probably grateful he's not here for every one of our commentaries now. I mean,
I have to tease him. I have to tease him. I love this.
Just the dramatic.
He's desperate. I love his notepad too. I can see.
My identity has popped me to you.
That's just there. I love it.
I'm squirming. Right. I'm squirming now.
I'm embarrassed for him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
What? I love that. What?
But I meant to say.
Yes, I'm George. George McFly.
I'm your density.
Your destiny. And she seems fairly touched by this,
mm-hmm.
which is just kind of makes us moment.
Either that or she's just,
well,
like...
She later on, though, she says, you know, he's all right or whatever. So she's
kind of
into him.
I think she...
Yeah. Coming in to ruin the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the needle being scratched off the record there. And just, and you know, Marty's not helping things by helping them.
No, that's the
thing, though.
Not
in
the least.
He's, you know, his intentions are, you know, pure, but
he's interfering.
Yeah, again.
Because she likes him even more. Than
yeah, exactly. Her. He's not helping.
He's the cool rebel.
Yeah.
And the skateboard conversion.
Yes.
I can't.
Homemade ride. Right
there. And metal wheels.
I like that there's one of the more interesting things from the Forrest Gump DVD is Robert Zemeckis acknowledging that he's one of the better filmmakers. As far as he's an excellent filmmaker for everything, you know, it's for what it's worth. But his use of music, you know, he goes straight from like the popular stuff to the score, you know, almost flawlessly. You know, he mentions in the Forrest Gump DVD that you know, he told Alan Silvestri from the very beginning, Alan Silvestri, or like he was gonna play the mood. And you know, with the popular songs or whatever you know, popular music he might be using, and then Alan Silvestri would play the landscape, which I thought was an interesting piece of information. What they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Alan Silvestri's score. He plays the landscape. He plays the. And, you know, this is actually a really great piece of music right here
by
Alan Silvestri.
One of the things I love. Listening to it.
Everybody's looking back.
Literally.
Yeah. Which makes it all the funnier.
Oh, you like hear the air going out of there. That's just nasty.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Of course, even
T. Jones.
Is that guy carrying a French horn? What's a French horn guy?
And he's so cool here. He's so cool.
I like the twist on this in part two.
Yeah.
Like,
keep it. I got a pit bull now.
Pit bull.
It's more of those people pooping his own.
Yeah. You get abused in these movies. Thomas F. Wilson.
Oh my God, they found me. I don't know how, but they found me. Remember my Lily? Oh my God, they found me. I don't know how, but they found me.
Okay.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks.
You know, why doesn't Doc ask exactly what, you know, he's, you know, talking about right there? That's something I,
like he,
you know,
it's like he said.
Yeah, he doesn't want to know his
future. He doesn't want to know too much about his future because he doesn't want.
I would be pretty darn interested, though, in knowing what exactly.
I'm sure he's curious, which is why he's playing it back more over and over, but.
Well,
see, there's your explanation right there.
That's what I was saying before, like at the beginning of the movie, you know, he was all gung-ho about going to see his future.
Right.
Well, you know,
he's like, excuse the crudity of the model. It's like, damn, I mean, that's better than I've seen in some movies.
Yeah.
I like that there's a little watch for the clock tower.
Yeah.
Pretty darn detailed.
Yeah.
This is one of the funniest scenes in this entire movie. I love
his face.
It's like, oh!
Now, why does he have it?
Why does it have to be real? So that one.
Well, what I want to know is why does he have the oily rags, like, right in the direction that he's going? I mean, it's beautifully absurd, but, God, it's hilarious. Oh, it's funny.
Yeah,
this is
really
one of my favorite scenes in this entire movie.
And there's a really brilliant callback to this scene in part three as well.
Yeah,
with the model
like,
train and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like the continuity between all three movies is really quite brilliant. I mean, it's just, and it's so much fun to watch them all. You know. Anyway.
Yes. Burn stuff now.
Why do they need to draw?
The scientist gotta know if it works.
Which this is obviously gonna, you know.
He didn't test out his aura into the future.
Yeah.
Standing right there. Well, this expression kills me.
The face.
With a lot of confidence, Doc.
That's why you always have the fire extinguisher handy.
Change the subject.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Jamal! This is another moment that's pretty brilliantly called back in the part 3.
Yeah.
I need to watch the other movie.
Yeah, no, I need to go and watch part 3 now.
Right? All three of them are so genuinely entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of the great film series. I mean, you know.
Doc, it looks so innocent over there.
This actually might be a good time to bring up one of the things that makes this so funny in the way that they play in the way that they filmmakers and the writers play with the idea of the Oedipus complex, the idea that the son wants to go to bed with the mother. And it's something that they actually acknowledge in, I believe, the Q&A session. And that's actually something I wanted to bring up in AI, because a lot of people thought that movie with David's obsession with his mother was sort of related to that, which I actually disagree with, but this gives me a good opportunity because of the fact that this is a very central part of the movie.
Doc of the Fly, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Doc's
beautiful.
Doc's look.
It's like making sure he doesn't do anything stupid.
It's like, yeah. But, and one of the things that they said is that Leah Thompson played this absolutely correctly because of the fact that it's like, she has no qualms hanging on him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, he's the one with all the neurosis about it.
Right.
Because of the fact that he realizes the full situation of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's paid off really well in the, later on, in the scene in the car.
Daddy-o.
Yeah, this is another part where there's sort of an extended version of this on the DVD or on one of the deleted scenes. Then I just want to say that it's like all of the deleted scenes were deleted for a reason.
Yeah,
I mean, some of them are pretty funny, but it's like none of them will really work well within the context of the movie as it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It works so much better in the final version.
Mm-hmm.
You say
you're lying, George. Oh yeah, hey you.
His movements are funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you really think I was? Yes. Damn it, George Slayer. That's one of my favorite deliveries. Yes. Damn it, George Slayer.
It's a wonder I was even. I love that line where he says, "It's a wonder I was even." Doesn't he say something like, "It's a wonder I was even"?
Jesus, George! It's a wonder I was even born.
Yeah. He's like, "What?" He's like, "Nothing, nothing."
He was being like the father figure in that scene. That's really funny.
Amen to that.
I love the scene in part 2 when he says, wait 5 seconds, the rain stops. And
yeah.
Kind of an interesting.
Yeah.
And this is the heart of the film right here. Is
mm-hmm.
the
dilemma and that he's got. He knows what happens to Doc. And it's like,
which
how
is totally
do you tell
believable.
Cause, and that's why they had to make that as
violent as it was, mm-hmm. that scene, as violent as it was, because it had to resonate throughout the entire movie.
Right.
And, I mean, this score, this entire trilogy is Alan Silvestri at his finest.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I'm as convinced of it, I'm even more convinced of it now as I was when we actually did Back to the Future Part 2 a few months ago. I mean, this is just such a beautiful score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember one of the extras acknowledging that, you know, Robert Zemeckis told Alan Silvestri from the very beginning that
it's
got to be big. It's got to be over the top, because you know the first movie, the first film wasn't, you know, didn't have a terribly, you know, gratuitous budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like the visuals weren't. Obviously, weren't as spectacular as they could have been. You know, as they got, of course, they got more as the story progressed, mm-hmm. and as the series progressed. But I mean, obviously, you know, the over the top score, mm-hmm. has been just a staple ever since.
Yeah, and you know, we should talk a little bit about Alan Silvestri, because I mean, we talked about him a bit on the part two commentary. But in case you're listening to these in the order of the actual film. He's done most of Zemeckis' work, from, I think, Romancing the Stone on.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Forrest Gump, Castaway, What Lies Beneath, and...
Oh, what they did in Castaway was so brilliant.
He also did the original Predator, which is one of my favorite action scores. He did Lilo and Stitch, Mouse Hunt, The Mexican...
Stuart Little.
That's right, he did do Stuart Little.
Stuart Little, yeah. 1 and 2.
I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, I know he's done more. I just can't think of it right now, but... I like this, and this is where that stuff from the beginning really starts to pay off, because it's like...
Exactly.
Exactly. You don't want to know about your mom parking.
Yeah.
You don't want to know about that.
She was.
there's a
from the old lady's liquor.
There's a funny outtake of.
He's sure to take a swig as well, though.
Yeah.
Well, there's a funny outtake of Michael J. Fox taking a swig from the prop bottle, and there being actual alcohol in there, and him just doing a really funny spit take.
Yeah.
Jesus, you smoke too?
I like the look at that line. You're starting to sound just like my mother.
Yeah.
Don't know why I'm bringing this up. Marvin Berry and the Starlighters, a far cry from the band that plays at the dance in American Pop. Like I said, I don't know why I'm bringing that up.
Know why you're bringing
right
that up
off the
either,
top
right?
of my head.
That's a Ronnie comment right there.
Now, why is that exactly a Ronnie comment?
It makes more sense than some of his. You have to give me at least that.
Yeah,
I think
I know what you're talking about, Brian.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, I was just, for some reason, thinking about it. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why I'm bringing it up.
You know...
It beats the band that played at our high school prom, which there wasn't.
I wasn't there, so... No. I've just heard horror stories of it.
Yeah, it was
but...
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.